Hi, everybody. This is the Variety and iHeart podcast, The Big Ticket. I'm Mark Malkin. Today, I catch up with Dylan O'Brien. The actor stars in the new Paramount film, Love and Monsters. O'Brien talks about how he feels about the movie going straight to VOD because of COVID, recalls his star-making turn on MTV's Teen Wolf, and then later in the show, he opens up about how life has changed since recovering from his traumatic accident on the set of the third Maze Runner movie. I'll have Dylan O'Brien after this short break. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. I'm talking to Love and Monsters star Dylan O'Brien. The 29-year-old actor shot to fame for his starring role on MTV's Teen Wolf. 3 years into the series' six-season run, he was tapped to lead the Maze Runner movie franchise. However, he was in a traumatic accident on the set of the third Maze Runner when an out-of-control stunt car left him with severe injuries. He recovered and went on to complete the film. I talked to O'Brien from his home in Los Angeles. Hey, Dylan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing in quarantine?
Good, man. You know, I mean, it's a really wild time, right? You know, so right. I guess it's one of those things that, like, especially like during the middle of it, when people would ask like how I'm doing it, you know, I think people like feel like self-conscious of saying like good, you know?
Right.
But I do think I am good. You know, I have handled it well. It's obviously like, there's obviously been ebbs and flows, you know. I think it's been there's not a single person like that this hasn't taken a toll on, you know, in some capacity at some point, you know.
Right.
I think it's kind of done. I've like very much valued like what it's done for my perspective, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like my like mental health. So I don't know, like that's literally like kind of the school of thought that I've been sort of coming from on it. I don't know. Obviously, like everything that's happened during it as well has been like, you know, like what a shift, you know, so
yeah,
in the world. So it's like, I don't know. It's just like, it's been odd to like be at home and like witness sort of like this, you know, absolutely like unprecedented time in history, you know,
yeah.
Like every day.
Every day. I mean, I don't know what time, when did you find out about the president? Because I was up. So our emails just started going nuts.
You mean last night?
Yeah.
I found out last night. I know.
And it's just, you just every day. It's just
every day. It's something else, man. It's really relentless. It truly is.
But I agree with you. I do think it's going to change. I hope. I don't know if I'm being an idealist in this.
No, go ahead.
But I do feel coming out of this, when people are complaining about little things, I think it's going to be like, really?
That's the
you
thing.
You know what
man,
we just came through?
That's totally.
I don't know.
Exactly. Well, exactly. I feel like it's been so, like how can you not have gone through this and come out not just being so like, so overly appreciative and grateful for like the things that you mm-hmm. have, the people that you like have and love. Like
right.
things as simple and paramount as like health, you know what I mean? Like,
right. yeah,
which should always be like how we're thinking, you know? So it's really like, I don't know. I just think it is sort of like this, there are elements to it that I think are really like healthy sort of resets for us, you know?
Mm.
I totally agree with you on that.
So what does it feel like to be promoting a movie during all of this?
I guess like not that different, I guess, like, mm-hmm. although it's from my living room, you know, but like, and that's been kind of nice, I guess, like, and it, I don't know, I guess like sort of like very selfishly, like, I'm just like, that's kind of cool, you know, at the same time, there are also elements of like going on like the press tour that are always fun and cool, you know, like, and like, I'm really close to my publicist too. She's in here right now too. Like we always like have so much fun together. Like we're not getting to like have our plane trips together or like talks, you know? And so there's things about it that like, you know, obviously are like a bummer, but, and like too, I would like, you know, the movie, like on the one hand, I think it might reach more people this way.
So tell us about the movie. Who are you? What do you play? What happens?
All right, so I am notoriously not good at this question, but I'm gonna. You ready for it?
Go ahead.
I'm going to try to make it as succinct as possible. And now watch. I'll talk for the next 3 minutes. Okay. Okay. Love and Monsters. It is about a version of the apocalypse where monsters have sort of taken over the earth and forced humanity underground. And it follows a boy who is sort of now like a young man, but still kind of developmentally, like, you know, been in a bunker since he was like 17 years old. And he is a, you know, he's a very, like, in that boyish way, still very, like, imaginative and, like, you know, and longing to, like, be, like, heroic and brave and helpful in any way, you know. And he's, like, in a bunker where everyone is, like, a warrior, and they're also all, like, in love, you know. And he's kind of, like, the ninth wheel, and sort of the youngest. They all, like, adore him, but he's also, they're just sort of, like, you know, he cooks, he cleans, like, he's kind of, like, the, you know, like, the, he's kind of like the home hen, you know. When they all go out and fight the monsters, when there's like breaches and stuff, he's just like cooking stew, which I always loved. And he you know, he also obviously, because of the state of the world at this point, he mostly longs for this love that he never like got to experience in his life. And he doesn't know, like, I mean, the clock's ticking. I think it gets to a point where he it hits him that, like, you know, it could be over and he could never experience that, you know. So he reconnects with his like high school girlfriend from when he, like, when the apocalypse hit, who he's still very much like obviously has always thought about and is in love with, and decides to try to go find her through this, you know, monster apocalypse where the surface has been completely overtaken by monsters and he is completely incapable, and goes on this journey to find his girlfriend with the dog, who thankfully he meets because he saves his life throughout the whole movie.
So
I talked for like what, like 3 minutes, right?
I was trying to time it and I lost track.
I know,
was
so
but
terrible.
You did it. Listen, it's
no way it, of like doing a log line. It's insane.
It's an apocalypse. You know, you're trying to survive. Now, one of the things which I'm sure you weren't thinking about when you made it, it kind of is like today. You're in quarantine.
I mean, didn't think about, of course I didn't think about that. This movie, yeah. I think the script was written like 6 years ago, you know, like, and we shot it over a year ago. Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, trust me, a lot of the, you know, when they were deciding on when to release the movie, you know, I remember speaking to Michael, the director, you know, at one point when they had decided on a date, and it was originally for, I don't know if you know this, it was originally pegged for Valentine's Day this year. So we just brought it up a bit, but, you know, I was like, are you cool? Cause I was mostly too, I was like, it's his, first like big studio movie too. And so I was like, you know, feel for you. It's another, like, it's a while. So it comes out. Like, how are you cool with that? You know? And he's like, I think I am. I think it's a good spot. He's like, the only thing is, like, you know, you just don't know what changes in a year. And like I, when he said that, you know, it's just fascinating how true that became, you know. Yeah, it's interesting because obviously I think a lot of people are, I don't know, I think people are smart, you know, like, it's, I guess some people aren't, but like, I don't think that anyone's gonna see this movie and think that we, you know, we're in any way is relating to what's going on right now. Like, I think people understand the timetable at this point, you know.
But, you know, here's, you're in quarantine for how many years in the movie? 7?
Yeah, the quarantine aspect is wild.
It's wild.
Yeah, he's in a bunker, quarantines, essentially. I guess it's not quarantine. They're just, like, hiding, basically, you know?
Which is kind of a different way of saying quarantine.
Yeah, 7 years.
Except, you know, the earth has been overtaken by snails the size of, you know, buildings.
Oh, did you see it?
I've seen it. Yes,
oh,
I've
cool,
seen it.
Cool,
I'm
cool.
Not going to do the interview without seeing the movie. I hate when journalists do that.
No, you're so, I mean, of course, yeah, like, I guess, but that has I mean, yeah, that's sometimes
it happens. It does happen.
Or maybe I just don't know. I don't know. That's cool.
But the movie. But what's amazing about the movie? It's really. I mean, listen. I know you have some co-stars. There are other people in the movie, but it's really you. The movie is you. It's like
It is a lot of me, unfortunately. the whole fucking time.
But how much was it green screen and CGI? Is it just wild?
You know, not. I mean, not a lot of green screen. Obviously, a lot of CGI.
Right.
A lot of practical environments. Like all those landscapes are completely just like Australian landscapes. You know. And, you know, and then it's, we had like an amazing visual effects team who I've worked with before too. And so very similar process too, to kind of like how they, I always noticed with all the visual effects that really know what they're doing, the visual effects teams that really know what they're doing, like it always seems that they want those practical environments. Being I think there's sort of nothing worse than if you have to, like if you're in space or something, you know, but like being on like a stage surrounded by green screen is like not the ideal, you know?
No.
I always crack up at how sort of loose the like calculation, you know, is for like on set when you have the visual effects supervisor, like if I'm in a scene with a monster, right? And, you know, it's supposed to like, sort of like it's little, like feelers are supposed to start coming up through the ground or something, right? You know, like he'll come over at some point and right before we're about to go, and he starts putting like orange leaves down. So just but he's sprinkling them, you know, and he's like, and he'll like even just be narrating as a joke, like just be like, oh, throw some here, and then he'll like flicker some on my head, like, and I'm just like, I'm like, it's so funny, like what an advanced technological thing. You would think that there's such an exact science,
right,
you
know, right,
to how they have to execute it, but it's really interesting to watch how they do it. Like those are, he just needs these like loose references, you know, to then kind of go in and be able to, you know, paint in color in the world and build the monster and have it move. You know, it's fucking amazing, really.
Was it a lot of tennis balls that you were looking at?
Totally, always, yeah, yeah. And people. Always asked about the tennis balls, you know, and I think like the most common question is like, is that hard? Is that difficult to, you know? And like, first of all, it is just sort of what it is. So there really is no like other thing that you've ever experienced. It's not like we've gone to tennis balls and, you know, we used to experience real monsters.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
but also that's just you know, I keep saying like, it's kind of fun. It's kind of more fun to imagine it yourself, you know, and to sort of, I mean, that's the fun of acting, you know, like, or getting to do a movie like this, you're in this like world that doesn't exist, you know, like, and you know, this fantastical kind of like spin on like what could happen with monsters, you know, mutating out of like mammals. And so it's like, that's the fun of it, is to imagine like what's going on and then sort of create that for yourself.
I have to ask, cause my husband and I were kind of debating it. Was the dog real?
Yeah, that's hilarious, man. Were you high?
For a second, when the dog first popped up, my husband goes, "Oh, that's fake.
Fuck,
that's a fake dog."
Oh, that is.
He's like,
so
"That's a fake dog." And then I'm like, "Well, I guess it could be a fake dog because the monsters are fake."
That's incredible. That is so funny.
Glad to know the dog
Hero
was
is totally real. He's a brilliant dog. I love him so much. He also like, so you know, he has a doggy double, like there's two dogs, you know, so so it's Dodge and Hero. And you know, because like you can't like have Hero do everything all day, but he's like, he needs to rest sometimes, you know, and like which, so you know, I had never worked with a dog before, so it was really cool and learning all of those things too about how they work on set. I never knew those kind of details, you know, the doggy double. And
I didn't know there were doggy doubles.
But yeah, definitely. What would you say? Sorry.
I didn't know there were doggy doubles. It just sounds funny.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Like, there's two of them.
Doggy stand-ins.
So cute. And they were just the best. They were the best dogs. They're so smart. Like, it's just incredible too how they, I mean, and I also thought he was also so loving, you know, with me. Like, it was cool, like, that he actually was, like, such a...
Did he bond, did you bond together right away?
Totally, yeah. And going into it, I wasn't sure. I was like, this would be interesting. I don't know. You know, I've never worked with, like an actor dog before, you know? Like, I wonder if they'll be totally turned off to, like, the connection, you know, if it'll all be acting, you know? But he's, it's so, you know what I mean? But he was
don't know if the dog's gonna like me or not. What happens if we didn't do a chemistry read?
Yeah, exactly. What if we don't hit it off? I mean, it's so true. But no, he was such a, you know, so cool. Cause he's such a dog, you know, offset, and then he can really snap into,
wow.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. He's so smart.
What drew you to the role? Why'd you do it?
It's a good question. Like, genuinely so many things. When I first read the script, I was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is great. You know, like, I really loved, I just loved it. I loved the humor in it. I loved the character. I loved the world. I thought it was really unique and weird and funky and, like, funny and but so sweet, you know? And,
yeah.
And so good natured, you know? And I really loved that it was like, you know, to me, you read a script about a kid and a dog, you know, going through, trudging through a monster apocalyptic land to find his love, you know, and you think like, well, this is like, obviously like cartoon, you know, like, so it was cool that we were, you know, to try to make it live action too, I thought was like really ambitious. And I kind of like that, you know? I was down for that, like, attempt, and honestly too, I mean, it was really, really, just like tight and like fully filled out, like, script and worlds, you know? So when you first read something like that, like, it's, you're just like, I think I was just really taken with everything about it immediately, you know, and its originality and its kind of throwback sort of, you know, it's not a movie that it gets made every day,
right?
You know, now, and I was really like happy to try to be a part of that too, and have it get made, and you know, I don't know, I think there's an aspect to things now as I get older, like the things that I want to do, you know, like I just think that some, you know, there's a piece of like the direction that the industry is going in. I think there's sometimes like, I want to try to champion things that I think are kind of going away more and more. And this was kind of, I saw this as kind of one of those things, you know? So really happy that like, I was a part of it and that this movie got made, you know? I would have been happy to see this movie get made even if I wasn't in it. You know what I mean? And just the character, when I read this character, I was just like, oh, this is so cool. This is one of those characters that like you read and feel so connected. Like I felt like I was like born to like play this guy, you know, like, and that's a really cool feeling too as an actor, and you gotta jump on that. I think it's like a special feeling that you can't like take for granted, you know.
And it has possibilities to be a franchise.
I guess so. You know, what's funny about that is like one of the things that I also loved about it originally was that I didn't think that. I thought the opposite. I was like, what an amazing, just like singular, like one, like told through just like act one, act two, act three, right. Close and curtain. And what a beautiful, fun little story, you know? But then like, I guess, yeah, when I saw how like the movie ends and just the swell and the next voiceover, I'm just like, oh, it does. Wait, are they tricking me? Did they trap me?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that to me, and I don't know. I would kill to like play that guy again, so and be with those people again too. It was just so much fun. So
we're going to take a short break, but when The Big Ticket returns, O'Brien opens up about how life has changed ever since being in a near fatal accident on the set of the third Maze Runner movie in 2016. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. I'm chatting with Love and Monster star Dylan O'Brien.
Another movie you have coming up, Infinite, with Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
So
they've had to do their entire post-production in quarantine.
Yeah, so tell me, I was going to ask you, how much did you have to do all ADR in quarantine?
Yeah, actually, just recently. That's a good question. Just recently, I did it in my den over there. Like, they send you a setup. It's funny, too, because it was, like, all ADR for, you know, I'm basically just, not to spoil anything, just in one piece of the movie. And it's an action film, so it's, like, a, you know, it's a lengthy fight sequence. And so all my ADR is, like, you know, you know, like all that kind of shit, like that you're just winging to, you don't really go to school for. And my friend was here, and so he's just like in here, and I'm like, hey, I just got to do this thing for like an hour. You know, are you cool? And he's like, yeah, I'll just be here. And they just hears me like for an hour, just like choking. At one point, I have to do this choking thing, so I'm literally just standing up to this mic, you know, just going like, and like. It's so funny. I actually just gagged myself. I have a horrible gag reflex. So like I the choking, always choking in ADR is really hard for me, but also I think effective because I really just go for it.
You went for it. Let's just be careful. I don't want to be like call 911. It's like, well, he's on Zoom.
Not exactly sure
where he is. After your accident, were you worried about doing action sequences? Were you worried about doing these fight scenes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was a really hard comeback for me. That, you know, it was a long ride. I mean, I've kept this really like private for a long time. Obviously, people have asked me about it. I've definitely spoken on it before, but you know, it was a really hard journey back for me, and definitely it completely rewired how I felt about, especially initially, you know, coming out of recovery. There was a moment where I didn't ever think I'd be able to even step foot on a set again, you know. So it was it did truly kind of rock my world for a sec. It's something I'll always deal with. I think I've worked really, hard on dealing with that and kind of accepting sort of like, and processing kind of what I went through, you know, and it'll always be a part of me. I think that there's a, you know, there's a piece of like anytime you experience something like that, obviously, ideally, you don't have to go through anything like that, but look, we all go through these things in life. That was one for me. You come out of it the other side, and you can focus on like things that it changed about you in a positive way, or you can really dwell on how it changed you in negative ways. And I think that a big piece of my recovery eventually was really accepting that this was a part of me, and that's you know, it did change me. That's been my path, and that's who I am now. And it's also informed me in a lot of really good ways. I'm hyper vigilant on set, you know, whenever I'm put in a rig, you know, I'm vetting every piece of that rig, and, so much more, you know, just really like dialed in and close with the stunt team that you're working with, rather than just sort of blindly putting your trust in other people's hands. Like ultimately you are your ultimate protector in those circumstances, right? You know, and especially on a set too, you know, I really do think that, you know, health and safety on a set is paramount, and often sometimes something that can truly get lost in the folds, you know?
Right. I think just like in everyday life, people are like, oh, that can never happen to me. That can never happen to me. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. There's an element of the make-believe, you know, and there's also an element of, again, the blind trust thing. Everyone is an expert at what they do on a set. So, you know, especially if you're younger, you know, like I was 24 when my accident happened, you know, I was just game. I was game. I loved what I did. I loved being on set. It was my favorite place in the world. You know, I loved my crew. Like my crews are my like families, my life, my world, you know, and I put my trust into them, you know, and I think that was a piece of what made it so hard, having that so viciously and scarily broken for me one time, you know, but, it's definitely something that I think, again, on a set, there's so much money at stake. It's all about time and rushing. And it really is important that sometimes, you know, I think especially when I was a kid, you don't want to be, you know, I was younger, you don't want to be the guy, especially the actor who's like slowing things down or going, right, you know, let's really think about this, guys, you know, which is like, think about what I'm saying. I mean, it's so fucked up that, you know, right, you ever even have to feel that way, but that is sort of culture sometimes, you know, and it really does take one person. And sometimes that has to be you to kind of shift that energy and be like, no, let's fucking stop and let's think about this, you know, or someone's going to get hurt. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for it in ways, how it's, you know, it has definitely changed me in so many ways and made me kind of who I am today. And, but yeah, definitely a long, long, long road, on that. It's still going. I mean, it's ever right, continuing, you know.
Does it change your priorities?
In terms of what? What I do?
When I think about the accident, and for me, you know, I'm in recovery. Mm-hmm. I'm sober. And for me, my priorities change in the sense of like, if I could get through that, I could get through whatever's thrown my way.
Right. I see what you mean. So just in life. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. It's, well, like, you know, I'm sure you, for me, it was very interesting coming out of recovering and feeling these things shift in me, priorities shift, without me even having control over that. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you come out, and I remember for me a big piece of that too was like, you know, I had friends like that were so dear to me that I had felt that I'd like neglected for years, you know, and all of a sudden, like, it was very like important to me to like to nurture those relationships, you know, and and to not like lose them, you know. And yeah, I think that absolutely, it completely rewires and restructures the way that you, you know, you see your life and you deem what's important to yourself, you know, and going forward, like, I just, it does make those things clear, you know. I think I came straight out of high school and I had this really cool, like, opportunity to, like, I had never acted before, and I just randomly, like, auditioned for the show and got this show, and then, like, everything was, you know, all these great, amazing things were like happening, you know, and I was just having like the time of my life, and like, and I was like in love, and I was young, and I was working, and I felt good at what I was doing, you know, and like, just really cool. And I think that, that's all great too. And that's all amazing to appreciate that. But I do think that there were things in my personal life that, yeah, I just kind of, when I looked back, all of a sudden I was like, damn, I'm fucking 25, you know, like, I haven't seen these guys in years, you know.
Right.
I do think that that's, yeah, that's, I mean, that's such a huge highlight of again, a good piece of the recovery.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, like you said, you could look at the experience and just go down that route of darkness and negativity, which sounds even trite for this experience. Mm-hmm. Or you could say, you know what? I've been through it. And this is, like you said, it's part of your journey. It's part of what makes you a man.
Totally.
And take it and try to spin it as best you can. But like you said, it's always with you. That doesn't mean you don't understand the gravity of the situation.
Absolutely, yeah. And the thing about it, of the thing that I always found most fascinating, and I also think that was instrumental in like understanding how to truly process this in order to get to truly recover, was the things that are truly out of your control, the things that are completely rewired in your brain, the things that are happening to you that like you feel like you're almost outside of your body observing, and you're like, who the fuck have I become? Like, what the fuck is going on? You know?
Right.
And again, it'll always be with me, even to this day. If I'm on set and I'm doing a stunt, if I'm in a rig, if there's some action going on, I am slightly, you know, irritable. There is a degree of like anxiety in me, and I don't think there's ever not going to be, you know. Obviously, like, I, you know, again, I really care about when I'm on set. Again, my crew is like everything to me, and I really care about it being a great environment for everyone. So I also, like, I have kind of been hard on myself sometimes when I've reacted in moments like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you also gotta, like, you have to forgive and understand kind of what has happened to you too, you know.
Yeah.
And people understand that, you know. And I've definitely had moments, you know, where like things like that are happening around me and I don't even realize that why I am getting so upset, you know, or something, you know, and it's because it'll always, you know, be with you.
Be with you. Yeah. Are you able to watch the movie now or no?
Do you mean Love and Monsters or?
No. Maze Runner.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Look, those, you know, there's no version of those movies that will ever not be like completely like momentous in my life and something right. so meaningful to me, you know, that's again, so part of what was so hard about going through that. You know, there was for a long time, I obviously in recovery, I didn't know if I had wanted to, I didn't know if I could do it again. I didn't know if I could finish the movie. You know, look, I don't know if people know this, the accident happened on day fucking three, you know, so we had right. the entire shoot to go. And, you know, a year later when we like, the plan was to pick back up, I think it took a lot of like work for me to like, dig past a lot of shit and realize that like I absolutely needed to finish it and do it again. And it was, I mean, I would have never been able to. That was such a part, instrumental part of putting it really behind me in a healthy way.
It was healing. It was healing for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. So no. Yeah. Of course, I can watch them. I love those movies. I love. That cast is like, they're like brothers and sisters to me, you know, to this day. I'm actually seeing them tomorrow. We're doing a little table read to try to get kids to vote, you know.
Oh, really? Still, that's yeah, great.
Yeah.
That's cool. Amazing.
Those movies mean the world to me.
So now I have to ask you, when we first got to know you, Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Another thing that means the world to me.
Like what goes through your mind? I mean, listen, I was at E! News at the time. So that was like our, you know, it was Teen Wolf. I mean, I remember meeting you guys, I think was at, I want to say it was like the MTV VMAs or Movie the Awards. MTV one Movie of Awards. Those. One of those.
Like when we like launched. Yeah, it was like.
Yes. Yeah. When you first launched.
I know. And we were just these kids. I think everywhere we walked, people were like, you guys aren't allowed back in. We're like, no, we swear we're a cast.
When you think back to those days, what goes through your, like, what's the feeling that comes back?
Oh man. I could cry. I mean, like, it's just like the most fun time ever, you know? And also it's, you know, Teen Wolf is really funny because it also like, a thing that I don't know how much we ever talk about or if we have, like, how much it really, like, resonates people. But, like, that was, like, the most disaster of a shoot. Like, it was the most ambitious, like, schedule I've ever been a part of. But it was what I grew up on, you know? So it was the only thing I ever came to know. So I remember, like, the first time I did the first Maze Runner as well. So the first time I did something where I can't even remember what it was, like, maybe it was like when I did a movie called The Internship, like when we did like a 12-hour day, I was like, woo! I was like, that was great. That was so, are we done? So it's like, it you know, when you're in the trenches on something like that, and you know, like where, you know, you're with this group of people for 98 hours a week and all through the night and, you know, getting home at 9, 10 a.m. It's just like a wild, and you're shooting a show, you know, and it's, for MTV too, like
your kids, you're so young too.
Totally. Yeah, me and Tyler were 19 when we did the first season. We were 18 when we did the pilot, you know. Just a lot of love, a lot of fun. You know, I think we will all always be connected in some way, you know, some deep way. Tyler's I love that dude so much. Like he, you know, we're so woven together, like for life and in ways that, you know, we don't even get to see each other often, but like, he will always be my brother, you know?
But have you gone onto his OnlyFans page?
No, I haven't. Someone just brought that up to me yesterday. I still don't really, I haven't, I've only seen like you know, I keep seeing these blurbs about OnlyFans, and I haven't done like a dive into. I don't even fully know what it is. I just saw like a picture of him naked with a guitar.
are you surprised at all? Or no? You're like, that's Tyler. Man.
I mean, I don't know. Well, I don't even know what it is or what he signed up for. But you know, no. I mean, Tyler. You know, Tyler follows his heart and his energy and his, you know, he's one of the greatest like humans you'll ever meet. He's one of the sweetest, most loving dudes, most caring dudes ever. But he, you know, he follows his fucking heart, man. I've always been in awe. We've always been like, I think what's so cool about me and Tyler's friendship is from the second we met each other, we were both so like in awe of like characteristics of the other one, you know? Like I think like I was always like so like admired his just like his comfortability and his natural like not seemingly no shred of anxiety and like his love that he just that would just like emanate, you know, and like and how he led that set, you know, like I mean I think the only reason that like I was who I was on that show I think was because of Tyler in so many ways. Like he was, you know, I'm a weird one where again, you know, these are the differences in us. Like I need to feel comfortable a little more than he does. And that takes a little more work for me than it does him, I think sometimes and can be sometimes dictated by my environment, you know? So, but when I feel comfortable, I do feel like I can like fly, you know, and so I always say this, you know, I just to Tyler and to my family, I guess, but like whenever we talk about the show and looking back at it, I don't know, like I give Tyler all the credit really, because like I don't even think I would have been able to like find my like confidence in what I was doing if it weren't for his like constant like energy around me. You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So last question, when are we going to see a Teen Wolf reunion, reboot, remake, movie? What are we seeing? Come on, it has to happen.
I don't know. I don't know. That's another thing though that like I left out and is like, you know, as important as everything else I was saying. You know, that was my first character ever, and Styles to me is just my heart and soul. And so like, right. Obviously I would jump at the chance to do like any kind of thing. There's gotta be some kind. I mean, we'll come back together for something at some point.
You know? So where is Styles right now? Where is he today?
I don't know. You know, I think that I love the idea. I think I've said this before, so it's so boring, but like, I love the idea that he's like sheriff, you know, that he's taken over as sheriff, but he drives his Jeep, like instead of a squad car. I just love that, you know, I don't know. That feels right.
Dylan, this was great. Thank you so much for this.
Yeah,
really I love appreciate this.
To you, man. This was awesome.
Yeah, congratulations on the movie. Having a movie coming out during quarantine.
Thanks so much.
Which is kind of appreciate amazing, it. And I do think people are really gonna like it. It's a fun, sweet like adventure movie. It's a boy and his dog. Like, how do you not? And monsters.
Yeah, exactly. awesome. I really appreciate it, Mark. Thanks so much.
You got it. Take care.
I love talking to you.
Same here.
All right. Bye-bye. Cheers, man.
That was Dylan O'Brien. Love and Monsters premieres on VOD on October 16th. Coming up on the next big ticket, Noah Jupe. The young actor received critical praise and multiple award nominations for his role in 2019's Honey Boy. Now he's playing Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant's son in HBO's new limited series, The Undoing. Until then, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. And for all your up-to-the-minute Hollywood news, head over to Variety.com. Stay safe, be well, and like I keep telling you, please wear a mask. See you next time.